Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a sustainability presentation from April 2015. Mr. Manfred Santen, chemist and toxics campaigner of Greenpeace Germany, presents Greenpeace Detox Campaign.
Ja, schönen guten Abend, vielen Dank für die Einladung. My name is Manfred Santen, sorry in English, from Greenpeace Germany. And I'm talking about per- and polyfluoroalkyl chemicals as well, as Stefan Posner did, but from another perspective, from another view, from a campaign view, because Greenpeace is running the detox campaign since almost 4 years now. The detox campaign is dealing, with the global water crisis and with the lack of good regulation and enforcement in the global south. That means this campaign focuses on the global south, which is East Asia, for example, China, which is also Southeast Asia, but also Mexico and other countries that are now the production countries for the whole world. We see in these countries lot of pollution, lot of water pollution, and that is the main issue that we focus on with this detox campaign. For example, the Citarum River in Indonesia, it is the most polluted river in the world. In Manila, we have a huge pollution, and the other one was in Mexico, where our colleagues took water samples and found more than 1,000 chemicals, and only 12 of them are regulated. So this is a big issue in the global south, as it was, for example, here in Germany in the 1970s, 1980s as well. But now the whole textile industry moved to Asia and is polluting the rivers over there. The textile industry we choose, but the textile industry is one of the industries that is really chemical intensive. The textile industry uses thousands of chemicals, and regularly used about 600 chemicals. So these chemicals are regulated in Europe, sometimes more strict than, for example, in Asia and East Asia. So even if the companies, the facilities, the production sites obey the regulation in their countries, in Europe they were not allowed to produce in that style, because here are the chemicals much more regulated. Our goal for 2020 is to bring about 50% reduction in the use of hazardous chemicals. That is what we said that should be our goal for this detox campaign. From this goal we draw several demands for the companies. For example, zero discharge of all hazardous chemicals by 2020. So every company that commits to the detox goal has to commit that all hazardous chemicals by 2020 will be eliminated from the whole supply chain of this company. And we demand transparency, the right to know. If you look in Europe, for example, or the US, you can go into the internet and find what is the chemical facility, the factory, releasing in the river where you live. That's no problem. It takes some time, but you can find the data. What is the company doing there, and what are the releases from the wastewater into the river? This is not the case in China or Philippines or Indonesia, and that was one of the main demands, or one of the main issues from our colleagues from East Asia and Southeast Asia, that they said, we want to have this right to know as well, because our people have to know, or want to know, what is in their rivers and what is in their products. And we said, okay, for the detox campaign, we start with priority chemicals. So we said two chemical groups, these alkyl phenols and also the perfluorinated, there is missing an I, are very difficult to substitute, so that should be the chemical groups that you start with, because 2020 is not that long, it looks like. So we started in 2011, that were 9 years then. Now it's only 5 years left, and the issue is not solved yet. So please begin with this chemicals that are really difficult to substitute, and put all your efforts in development and research into that. And we want the brands that they do not cancel the contracts with their suppliers, but work together with the suppliers to achieve this goal and to substitute the chemicals. The story so far is that there is 30 global fashion and textile companies. Tony, it's 31, yes? Since a few weeks, there are 31 global fashion and textile companies that committed to this goal, 2020, elimination of all hazardous chemicals in the whole supply chain. And there are some big names among them, Nike, Adidas, and Puma. These were the three companies that were the first detox commitments in 2011, then followed H&M and Zara, and also a big Chinese company, Li-Ning, and C&A, and so on. So, and the Mirolio Group, which is written at the end of this, is a group of suppliers, so it's not a brand like Uniqlo or Benetton or whatever, but these are suppliers who said, okay, we want to commit to this goal, we don't want to produce with hazardous chemicals anymore. And if you're from Germany, you know these companies, Lidl, Tchibo, but also Aldi and Rewe. These are retailers, food retailers more or less, but they are selling clothes as well, especially rain clothes for children. And we got commitments from Lidl and Tchibo and Aldi this year, beginning of this year and end of last year, that they commit to eliminate hazardous chemicals as well, and among them, this fluorinated chemicals. Yes, so that is the whole fashion sector. But what about especially specifically the outer sector? What I said before is we choose 11 substance groups that we prioritize for elimination. And one of them is this one that Stefan Postner talked about, per- and polyfluorinated chemicals. These are the chemicals that provide the DWR, you know that. And we, as I said, we negotiate with all these companies that we talk to about a detox commitment to phase out these chemicals with a concrete timeline. That is the most important thing. We don't want to hear from them, yes, we will do that until 2020, then it's fine. No, we want them to tell us, when do you do what? So C8 should be eliminated already years ago because nobody needs it, and the industry had a stewardship program that should have eliminated the PFOA already 2012 or 2013. Now it's 2015 that industry and brands say they will eliminate PFOA. And other C6 chemistry, for example, will be, where is it, C6? What color is the C8? Is the red one. C6 chemistry, for example, Zara will eliminate C6 chemistry until end of 2013, they said, and they will have a full elimination, 100% phase out of fluorinated chemicals until end of this year. Last year, we talked again to Puma and Adidas. Adidas was the third, and Puma was the first company that committed to the detox demands. But we saw that Adidas is not doing a lot. They committed to this to this 2020 goal, but then we saw there is no concrete measures that they take. So we went there and said, okay, Adidas, we want you now to announce PFC-free by. Give us a year that where you think it's possible to have all your clothes and all your shoes and all what you sell PFC-free. And they say that's not possible because we need PFC stuff for some performances. Okay, and in the end, we agreed that it should be possible, or it will be possible, 99% of the whole Adidas portfolio will be PFC-free by end of 2017. And then Puma said, okay, we give you 1% more, we are 100% PFC-free by end of 2017. The reason is, of course, Adidas has more outdoor clothes than Puma. And maybe this is a bit more difficult for Adidas. But 99% is not 100, I know that. But If Adidas is able to find an alternative for most of their clothes until 2017, this will be a big push in the sector, I think and I hope. So that's for that reason we accepted this 99%, but we were happy then Puma said, okay, 100 should be possible as well. What we did, how we campaigned in the sector. It's until now we did not do so many activities, but more investigations, science-based investigations. The first report, Chemistry for Any Weather, was released in 2012. The second one, part two, was released end of 2013. And then in the pre-run of the football championship in Brazil, we investigated shoes and balls from Adidas, but also from Nike, Puma, and other sport brands. So that is what we did, and we talked about PFC that are used for stain repellency, you know that, so I can go through a bit quicker. We know there is an emission directly from production side, of course, when you use it, there will be an emission, but there are also residues in textiles that are released here during storage, but also during use and end of life. We know there is no future for C8, that was said by Stefan already. So industry goes for other chemicals like fluorotelomers and shorter chain PFC, and they say these chemicals are safe. But if you look, fluorotelomer alcohols, for example, used in textile as a key raw material. So the usage of this stuff is really huge nowadays. But these are fluorinated, and that means they are persistent in the same way than C8, for example, or longer chain PFC is. Fluorinated means persistent, but because they are alcohols and maybe shorter chain, they are more volatile. That means they will be detected everywhere, in the atmosphere, in the air, but also in very remote areas. And we find it in indoor air. What does that mean, for example, for people who are work in outdoor stores? You don't know. Because we know that the concentration of this stuff is higher than in other rooms, in other working places. But what does that mean for the health of the people who are working there? Nobody knows yet. And we know that this stuff is a precursor for the old PFC. Let's call them the old PFC, like PFOA. So if you have a C8 FTOH, it could be degraded to PFOA. If you have a C6 FTOH, it could be degraded to the hexan PFH. X acid. That means, in our eyes, this is clearly no green chemistry. That was the telomeres. Let's go to the shorter chains. They are also persistent, of course, because they are fluorinated. We find them everywhere, in the Arctic, in the Antarctic, wherever. They are mobile. There is no barrier. They are able to go into the drinking water, into the groundwater. It is really, really not easy to get rid of them and to filter them out with water treatment plants. That makes them really, suspicious. And then most scientists, or a lot of scientists, told us that C4 or C6 are not toxic, not as PFOA, for example, is. The US Environmental Agency, for example, says this stuff is safe. There is no problem for the people that are exposed to these substances. And now there are some first studies that show, there might be a problem. We don't know exactly, but there might be a problem. This one was published by the German Bundesinstitut für Risikobewertung, Risk Assessment Agency, and that shows some of them, the C4, for example, is much more accumulated in blood than we thought. So there is kind of bioaccumulation even of short-chain PFC. That was not published before, or only few studies said this, and now you see, okay, more investigation, more studies on this, more concerns. The same shows some Swedish blood samples. So that means for us, even if we are not clear if it's toxic or not, but there is evidence that it could be a problem, that means we should all agree and account to the precautionary principle, and that means this is not green chemistry. We should look for substitutes. And if you look, for example, into the scientists community, the German Umweltbundesamt Environmental Agency said, do without PERM, polyfluorinated chemicals, and prevent their discharge into the environment. So that is, this study is from 2009, already 6 years old. They said, we don't need this stuff in consumer products and textiles. And many scientists from Switzerland, Mr. Scheringer, but also scientists from Holland and Scandinavia published this statement, so-called Helsingør statement, and they said from all their research they did, they come to the conclusion, these chemicals, fluorinated chemicals, if short chain or long chain, that doesn't matter, they should not at all be used in consumer products. So this is for a campaign, of course, very helpful if you have scientists with reputation seriously doing such a statement and say, we don't need these substances. So that means we are not on the wrong way. That's very important. And they say, we recommend that known and safe chemicals are used. So that makes sense, of course. It makes sense to substitute chemicals that you don't know if they're toxic with other chemicals. That there might be a problem as well, that was told by Stefan. So it's very important, of course, to know what substitutes do you use to eliminate these fluorochemicals, but there are a lot of chemicals that are much less bioaccumulative or much less persistent than this PFC stuff is. Well, this is a bit, I make it short. This is really new, because we learned that German Environmental Agency, Umweltbundesamt, did some new investigation, and then they said there are two short-chain PFC, these 62 chemicals that are really of concern. So that means, and we said, this is not published yet. We know that there is some investigation, and we wanted to know, why did you choose these two C6 chemicals, and what is the problem with them? And they told us, okay, we know that these chemicals will be increase in use on production, so that means one concern is there will be a lot of tons, kilograms and tons of these chemicals be released in future years, and we know that these chemicals can be degraded to this chemical, PFHXA, and we know that this one is toxic. So that means the scientists and the regulation agencies are working on that already. Yeah, what we did is we did classical product testing. We bought jackets, brought them to a laboratory and asked them to look for fluorinated chemicals, but not only for the perfluorinate, but others as well. And we were a bit surprised. In 2012, there were so many products, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of, I guess it was, how many did we test, 16 or so, products that exceeded this threshold of 1 microgram per square meter. I didn't expect that, because everybody talked about this chemical PFOA since years, and I thought it would, yeah, maybe there are impurities, but it should be eliminated already. It is not, so they use it. And Stefan told us that he found it in formulations as well. The next study in 2013 dealt with the issue, what happens with chemicals that are not PFOA or so, but telomeres, alcohol telomeres, how much of these chemicals will be released into the ambient air? Not only skin contact or whatever, but also do we breathe that stuff or not? And we put them into a test chamber, in the stainless steel test chamber, at room temperature. That's important. We didn't heat them, not 40, 50, 60 degrees, but at room temperature, and we found a lot or some of these products, for example, the North Face jacket, the Patagonia jacket, and the Adidas jacket emitted relevant or significant concentrations of fluorinated chemicals. This is fact. This is not an assessment. We don't know what that means for health, but it is, it is a bit. There should be done more research on that. So I go through it. It's not important to go into the details again. I told you already. A bit interesting for us was that Patagonia, North Face, the U.S. companies showed, or brands showed the highest C6 emission. That could be the one reason, could be that the US Environmental Agency says C6 is safe. We know that this contributes to leveling indoor air. We don't know what that means. That means only that there should be more research done in the future. 2014, the Red Card for Sportswear Brands report showed that in children boots, there is up to 39-40 microgram per square meter. You remember the threshold for PFOA was 1 microgram per square meter. We found from short chain substances 40 microgram per square meter. And Adidas, for example, when we talked to them, said, oh, we didn't order this. We didn't know that it's in there. So what does that mean? That means they don't know what they sell at the end. So they don't order PFBS finishing on their products, but they have it and they put it into the stores. Nike as well. Nike had even more, up to 190 microgram per square meter. So this is really a lot of durable water repellency on a full plastic shoe. That makes no sense at all. Why do you need water repellency on such shoes that are waterproof already? So Greenpeace calls upon textile land to be clean, be transparent, be proactive, and become detox solution leader. We want companies to phase out all PFC and be the front runner, of course. So we are looking for companies that are able to do it. We know that there are some companies that sell PFC-free gear for outdoor activities and high-performance outdoor activities as well. And we certainly know that it is possible to produce outdoor gear for urban use, for example, without PFCs at all. There is a problem that we consider is with working wear, of course, and maybe with some functionalities, but that can be discussed. The nature of the products could be already PFC-free. So that means we call for ambitious short-term elimination timelines now, and we see from the big retailers, for example, that really use a lot of PFC, that this is possible. They are already PFC-free, and they sell rain jackets for children, and the children keep dry, so that's important. Yeah, that's it for now.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to www.performancedays.eu. Copyright April 2015 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.